Okay, so again, in Parshas Toldos, which is a very fascinating parsha, and it's one of the most enigmatic and puzzling parshas in the Torah. Very dramatic, but also difficult, it's a challenging story, how Yaakov impersonated Esau and he deceived Yitzchak, and from this he gets the brachos, which are the basis of the whole Jewish people forever. It's a very difficult story to grasp. We spoke about it already quite a few times, but there's another point he wants to bring out here, the Shem Shmuel. Why Yitzchak? You know, the whole thing was Yaakov was supposed to get these brachos, for sure, which he did. So why did Hashem, if you ask a question like that, that's sort of a question. Why didn't Hashem just tell Yitzchak straight, give the brachos to Yaakov and finish? It was a prophecy. The whole brachos were a prophecy. So let there be a prophecy to give these blessings to Yaakov. Why? Going to get a prophecy anyway that he's going to give a bracha. So let the prophecy already tell him who the right son is. Why does he have to have this whole thing, Yitzchak? So this is a question about Yitzchak. We spoke already before about Yaakov and Esav and Rivka, what was involved here. But there's the question about Yitzchak. Actually, when he says something, I want to say something else also. So first let's see what he says in page Reish Ayin Zayin. He says a very important point. He says that that first of all he makes a point that we should know that Esav, you know, when we learn the story and for the first few times, usually you know, when you're young, you get this picture of an ogre. Esav is a wicked man, and Yaakov is a tzaddik. You look at the children's books that they publish nowadays with very nice, beautiful pictures. Usually they make a picture of Yaakov, a beautiful-looking tzaddik with a nice white beard, and he looks so holy. And Esav, they'll look like a ruffian, and he's wearing gangster clothing, and he has knives all over him, and weapons, and he has a scowl on his face. That's usually how they make the portrait, the picture. So that's not true. It's absolutely not true. He quotes here Rabbanim of Shischa, the great Rebbes. He says it's absolutely not true. He says Esav had a beard. It's a beautiful white beard, and he had big payas, and he wore a white shirt and a black suit and a black hat, and he davened 15 minutes Shmon Esrei, and he was very makbid that he has to wait 6 hours between meat and milk, and not even 1 minute less, and when any spare moment he had in the house, he would open up a Gemara and a Rambam and learn and ask good kashas to Yitzchak and say pshatim. He was a tzaddik. But there was a certain streak in him which no one knew, but only he knew, he and Hashem knew this streak. There was a hidden streak of evil. But he was in his demeanor and his behavior and his appearance, he was absolutely a tzaddik. That's why Yitzchak was deceived by Esav. If Esav would be walking around wearing machetes and swords and weapons and hand grenades, and so then there wouldn't be a problem. He's a wicked boy. We can't make him the leader of the Jewish people. But he was a tzaddik. He taka had a white beard, and he had payas, and even in his spare moment he opened up a sefer and he learned, and he asked good kashas and said good pshatim. That's why Yitzchak thought that everything was fine. But he had this hidden streak. When he went out with his friends, far away from his house, it would come out, this streak of evil, in that company out there. But no one knew. Only one who knew was Rivka. And apparently Yaakov also got wind of it, because when he sold the Bechorah to Yaakov, he had just come back from one of these wild parties with his friends, and they had committed a crime, a murder. Somehow he told Yaakov what he did. That was the Nazir Adash, and the Yaakov, at that point Yaakov said, this, I can't let him have the Bechorah. So Yaakov made this thing, sell me the Bechorah. But only Yaakov and Rivka knew of it. No one knew. No one in Yitzchak and no one in that area knew his secret life. He looked like a tremendous tzaddik. By the way, this is not something new. This happens every so often. People have sometimes split personalities. Like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They have split personalities. They have one personality of a tzaddik and then an undercover one that they're a criminal. It happens all the time. Speak about it. It's a reality. So that's where he was. So Yitzchak didn't know. Oh. So getting back to our first question, why didn't Hashem reveal, at least tell Yitzchak, give the blessing to Yaakov? Okay, the thing is like this, that Yitzchak, his midah sadin. That's what it's midah sadin. By him, everything is be the letter of the law. There's no manipulating, massaging, compromising, seeing another side, chesed. No, everything is din. Din. Esav is the firstborn. He came out first. He's the bechor. So according to din, he has to get it. There's no question about it. And what about Yaakov? So he knows. So what is Yitzchak thinking? Yitzchak is thinking, Esav, my firstborn, is a tzaddik. I see how he learns, how he asks questions. He says pshatim, he dresses, his appearance. He's tremendous. And he's the firstborn. Yaakov is also tremendous. He never goes out. He sits day and night, Yoshev Ta'ashev Aholim. And in a certain way, we explained the other time that Yaakov was a tzaddik within himself. He had no really connection with the outside world. He was day and night learning, studying, davening, meditating on Hashem, but he wasn't involved with the real world. That's a certain kind of a tzaddik. Shem Yishmur calls it like a tzaddik who's like Shabbos and time. Shabbos and time is separate from the whole world. It's a different time zone unto itself. It has nothing to do with the 6 days of the week. You're not involved with anything. Shabbos is completely within itself. So that was Yaakov. Yaakov was like Shabbos. Now really, that Yitzchak is very happy. He says, Yaakov doesn't need a bracha. What does he need a bracha? He's perfect within himself. He's completely dedicated to serving Hashem through davening and Torah. And every so often he does chesed. What does he need a bracha for? The Rashi says it's very good. Hashem made Esav, the firstborn. He's a big tzaddik. He asks good questions and he dresses beautifully and he's always busy. And when he does mitzvahs, especially he does a tremendous mitzvah, Kibbud Av. He's an amazing level of Kibbud Av. The Gemara says that Esav had more Kibbud Av than anybody we know in history. They would put on his Shabbos, every time his father wanted to talk to him, he would put on a gentleman's sister. Okay, I'll call her back. So every time he went into his father, he put on his Shabbos clothing, he said. He put on a black hat, make sure he has a tie, as his father called him. So he was the model of Kibbud Av, so he says, but he does go out, he goes into the world, he was a businessman, So he told his father, I make money, I'm in the hunting business, I sell skins of the hides of the animals which we capture, we also sell off the meat, so, you know, I make money. And he was the provider for the family. Yitzchak was blind, he wasn't able to work. And Rivka, apparently, you know, in those years, I don't know, the women were busy with everyday chores. They had to cook, and take care of the farming, washing, laundry. So she wasn't the worker, Yitzchak, Rivka. But Esau provided the money for the family. He was there and found us. So he says he needs a bracha because he's going out into the world. He needs a blessing to be able to succeed in the world and not to be compromised. Yaakov doesn't need a bracha. He is the bracha himself. He's the source of bracha because he's in the world of Torah and mitzvahs, Yiras Hashem. He doesn't need a bracha. He gives brachas. Yaakov is the source of bracha. Esau needs a bracha because Esau is a tzaddik, but he's out there facing the world. He has challenges. I have to give him a bracha. So he says, everything is perfect, Yitzchak says. Esau is the first. Yitzchak is midas adin. He says, a pendin, this is a perfect situation, Hashem made. He gave me two boys, both tzaddikim. One is a big tzaddik. He does kibbut av better than anybody else. And this one goes out into the fields. And he's a businessman, and he's doing Torah and mitzvahs in the real world. And he's the one who's going to lead Am Yisrael, because Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, can't just be. We're not a nation to just sit and meditate and daven and learn Torah and nothing else. Then Hashem would never take us out of the desert and give us into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem would say, stay in the desert under the clouds and be just the Torah and mitzvahs. Hashem wants the Jewish people to have mainly, of course, Torah and mitzvahs is one aspect, but there's another aspect of Chai Bahem, of living a life of Torah, of doing mitzvahs. We have 613 mitzvahs all out in the real world. 90%, 95%. Get out there in the real world, do things, and do things the right way. Don't let yourself be compromised by the false values out there, but you have to stick to the true emes. Torah and have the right values and live a life which is honest and good and beneficial to the world. And that's what we're supposed to do. So Esav is tremendous. That's why he's the first one. That's why Hashem made him number one, because he's supposed to lead the total picture of Am Yisrael, the totality, which involves everything out there in the world to make it holy, to be Makadosh Tachol. And he's for the 6 days of the week. Yaakov is a different thing. Yaakov is number two. He is Shabbos. He's into himself and to davening, serving Hashem that way. But he's not here to fix the world. He's the source of the bracha. He's learning, and his davening will give a bracha to Esav. But I have to give a bracha to Esav, number one. And this is correct because he's the bechor. Hashem made him the bechor. So Yitzchak, from Yitzchak's perspective, the situation was mamish perfect. Could not be better. Could not be better. He has two sons, perfect sons for what the role is supposed to be. And he's absolutely supposed to give the bracha to Esau. And Yaakov was blessed by himself. So that's why Yitzchak had tremendous simcha. That's why his name is Yitzchak. Because he has tremendous simcha. We have such two tremendous sons like this. And have a tremendous wife, a Rivka, a tzedekus. What more could a person want? What more could a person want? He has tremendous simcha. So he has so much simcha that's why he could have nevuah to give such a high level bracha. That bracha is the bracha which goes forever. Forever and ever, that the Jewish people live off those brachas. That you and I today, we're Jewish, we have the land of Israel, because of the bracha that Yitzchak was going to give to Esau. So those are brachas are for eternity. But to get to that level, to be able to give such a bracha, you have to have an incredible amount of simcha. You have to be so happy so you can connect to the highest levels in heaven. You can only get to those high levels through simcha. If you're sad, if you're melancholy, stressed, you cannot get to that level of prophecy. It says in the Gemara that Nevuah must have simcha. Ein Nevuah Shoel Metoch HaSimcha. So he had an amazing simcha. So that's why Hashem couldn't tell and didn't want to tell him the truth that Esav is a dual personality. He's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He is a tzaddik by you, correct. But when he goes out to the field and he gets to the wrong company, all of a sudden the other personality comes out, he becomes a monster. That he couldn't tell him. Because that would destroy his simcha. He would be finished forever, Yitzchak. He would be so upset. So that his pride and joy, his oldest son, is a scoundrel sometimes. It would be terrible. How could he ever get to the simcha to give the bracha? So that's why it had to go through this incredible, complex way that Yitzchak is besimcha gomor, and he's giving the bracha, he thinks, to Esav, but meanwhile he's giving it to Yaakov. That's what the Shem Shmuel says. Yes?
No, in terms of nevuah and simcha, you see, it isn't like Yirmiyahu, and a lot of the prophets, they didn't want it, they weren't happy with the whole...
Their nevuah. How did they have it? It's a good question.
They didn't even want it.
Right. Okay. Either the answer is that there's exceptions to this rule. This is a rule that Nevuah needs Simcha. But there are exceptions. Sometimes there's nevuah without simcha. That's number one. Or you could say that these Nevi'im were so amazing people that even as the worst tragedy which upsets them so much is happening, they're able to create simcha, to get nevuah. Either this way or that way. See, you ever read of Nachman Breslov? Chassidus, he feels that the person can always have simcha in the midst of the worst tragedy. I don't know how you can do it. I myself read it and I don't see. I mean, I don't know what's going on. But they work on it. Rav Nachman Breslov, he has a philosophy of life. Mr. Gedola Lios Besimcha Tamid. That's made a song out of it, so it became popular. Tamid means every second you should have simcha. Sometimes there's a mitzvah to be sad, to shibah. God forbid there's a velus. He still says, Mitzvah Gedola, Lias B'simcha Tamid. So he has a way of a person have like a double level psychology. He's B'simcha despite being Ba'atzvus. He has joy even when he's sad. I see it by certain Rebbes. It's amazing. I don't know. I asked one Rebbe once, tell me the secret, how you do it. Didn't have a good answer. I don't know. I think he was telling me, you always look at the good things in the situation. Maybe if you're always connected to Hashem, very, very strong with Ava, that creates the simcha, even though bad things are happening, but you still have that connection to Hashem, which gives you the simcha. There's bad things, and they upset you, and there's a mitzvah to get upset. It's a velus, there's a mitzvah. But you do it only with a certain part of the personality. But the other part, which is more deep, it's besimcha tamid. Rav Nachman Breslov, he pushes it very strongly, and you could say that in the Nevi'im, that a Navi, he was able to do it, to be the Simcha Tamid, even when he's a Navi of tragedy, like Yirmiyahu. It's a very good point. Why don't they teach this to us, the Rebbe's and the Yeshiva, how to do it? It's a good question. Anyway, maybe some of us will go down the road of learning how to do it. Nachman Chassidus, I think that also Chabad Chassidus is also quite strong in this, to have continuous simcha, despite sometimes tragedies which happen and you're supposed to feel upset, but it doesn't affect a certain level of simcha. I think Chabad has that also very strong. The Hasidim. And I imagine that the great Mekubalim of the Sephardic world also have this combinatorial that combines simcha with atzvus. They don't teach it to us in the regular yeshivas, you know, the Lithuanian yeshivas. They didn't teach it to us. Anyway, so, but Yishei Mishmu was saying that for Yitzchak to get to the simcha he had to get to, he couldn't have this experience of atzvus, of being upset with Esau. Then he wouldn't have been able to. He's dealing with Yitzchak like he's almost like you and me. That if something very upsetting like that happens, you discover that your son is really a criminal, and he's already an older guy. It's not like he's a 10-year-old. They were already well in their years, Yaakov and Esau, at that point. They would have been 60 years old at that point. So, to find that out, it would provoke us all. It says in the Medrash, Rashi brings it down, that Avram Avinu didn't know. He thought that Esau was a big tzaddik, and he died before Esau actually committed crimes. Because he died younger than Yitzchak. Yitzchak lived to be 180, and Yaakov and Avram lived to 175. Because Esau was going to commit crimes, he was getting very, very, you know, agitated or whatever. So Hashem said that Avram Avinu died before it happens. He shouldn't find out that a grandson became like this. There's a lot of tragedy in the stories. Okay, this is today's Shem Shmuel.